The date is May 28th, 1993, and we're watching Super Mario Bros. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and as we continue our video game month here on I Used to Like This One, I can't do this alone, so with me is the Mario to my Luigi Mario.
Hello, I'm Aaron Knowles.
It's me, Aaron Knowles.
It's me.
Yeah, I decided to do it that way because, as we discussed in the Street Fighter episode, I am a bigger fan of Luigi, so.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll take second fiddle.
Okie dokie.
So this week we are looking back at May 1993 when the movies in theaters were Dragon, the Bruce Lee story.
Oh.
Cliffhanger. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Menace to Society, Hot Shots Part Deux, and of course our movie for today, Super Mario Brothers, which earned a staggering $20.9 million on a $48 million budget. Ooh. Ouch! Yes.
Ouch.
That one hurts.
Unlike our last film, Street Fighter, which was a blockbuster with triplets budget.
Officially, blockbuster.
This one was definitely a flop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This one, and they knew it making it. There's a lot of stories that I was reading about.
Yes.
Bob Hoskin and John Leguizamo being drunk on set and knowing that it was going to be a flop and not even knowing the source material in Bob Hoskin's case, and just a nightmare of a directing team. I can't wait to get into this movie. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Yeah. Was it Dennis Hopper, his grandson asked him why he did it, his son asked him why he did it. He said, because you needed shoes, and his son said, not that bad.
Yeah.
All right. So, have you played any Super Mario games before?
Me, I have definitely played one or two.
Well,
of them,
that's not gonna matter today because none of this is gonna make any sense. So, spoilers doesn't really matter.
That is very true. Oh my God, yes, this is a bit of a fever dream that we got going on here for a movie.
It's an LSD flashback.
Yeah.
Where's my pizza?
Okay, so taglines, Aaron.
Ooh.
I've got several here. First up, we've got anything is possible. You just gotta believe in it.
Anything's possible, Mario. Probable, was like, let me see it. Improbable, unlikely, but nothing's impossible.
That's right. Anything is possible. As long as you believe in it. Yeah, you just gotta believe in it. I don't know.
There.
Yeah. Yeah, right? It's that kind of tagline. Well, next is a bright, clamorous extravaganza.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Next up, where the game ends, the movie begins.
That's a goddamn lie.
How dare you, sir?
How dare you?
Well, next up, just this ain't no game.
That's true.
The next one is this ain't no game. It's a live action thrill ride.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not boring.
Well, finally, last one, can two plumbers save the world from going down the drain?
That should have been on every damn poster.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
That's the only one that they need.
Yeah. We can argue that one of them in this one is not that much of a plumber.
He's
very, very apprentice level plumber.
Well, I have questions. I have questions, okay? Now, one thing before we get into the meat of this review, I have to say, Does this movie not have one of the most iconic posters ever?
It is a pretty badass poster. Like, yeah, them standing in front of the Big M.
The Big M with their stomper boots on. Yeah. You know, and they're like, I don't know. That's, to me, like, it just, like, screams like this should have been like an amazing film.
That should have been the film, what you saw on that poster. And boy, oh boy. I can't wait to talk about this. But first, we need just a little hint of what we've got in store ahead of us here. So let's go to Aaron and get a 60-second synopsis.
Woo, I'm excited. I'm actually putting this one up on the clock. Are you ready? Because three, two, one. Here we go. All right, so you got Mario and you got Luigi. Bob Hoskins, John Leguizamo. They're plumbers. They're not very good plumbers. And they're out of money. They live in an apartment complex and they're just like, hey, we need a job. And so finally, we find that they're going up against the Scapellis. The Scapelli organization, who apparently ran by a mob boss, is trying to stop a university dig from digging up these dinosaur bones, who happens to be ran by Peach. Princess Peach. So this isn't a Princess Daisy situation. This is a Princess Peach situation, all right? And so now you've got the Scapellis are trying to ruin this dig. Luigi, who is not who's not even a freaking plumber, is trying to help Daisy save the dig. She calls Mario, or they call Mario. For some reason, he had enough time to run all the way back. Man, I'm hitting five. I just hit 60 seconds. Yeah. Anyways, I'm going to keep going. They go get Mario. They had enough time to go get Mario, which is ridiculous, okay? They bring him to the dig site, okay? And then we find out that Luigi isn't even a freaking plumber. Who would have thought? He lived with Mario his entire life, but he's not a plumber. Anyways, these goons from Goomba, or Koopa, Koopa Goomba goons, they're not even Goombas, but they're Koopa goons, kidnap Daisy, take her through this portal, because apparently 500 million years ago, 56 million years ago, the dinosaurs were split into a separate dimension because of the meteorite. Who would have known that a meteorite hit Brooklyn? We would never have known this. Anyways, guess who runs the alternate dimension with the dinosaurs? Yeah, that's right. It's King Koopa, who's not even a king. For some reason, he's President Koopa, but everybody calls him King Koopa. He tries to marry Daisy. It's not going to happen. The plumbers, who apparently are just, I don't know, lucky as all get out, team up with Big Boom Boom Bertha, the Koopa Goons. There's de-evolution. There's Super Nintendo Rays that are de-evolution Rays. King Koopa's ordering pizza. And this movie makes no goddamn sense. It has nothing to do with the Mario games. And it's insane. And the funny thing about this is that nobody on the set had any idea. This is made by a husband and wife directing team, who were told not to watch or to see anything on the video games, had no source material. Bob Hoskins refuses to admit that he had any part in this. John Leguizamo claimed that they were all drunk. This is a movie, it's an utter mess. It's an utter mess. But I'm going to end the synopsis with that I love it. I love how messy it is.
There we go. 360-second synopsis.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, no, that it's a hard movie to talk about in 60 seconds.
It really
and,
is,
because
there's so much to it. And also, like, the love that I have for it, like, I want to just tell everything about it.
Yeah.
Like this, we'll talk about it, you know, in a minute, but, like, yeah, it holds a special place in my heart. And it's very hard to, like, with everything that goes on in this film, it's hard to, like, collapse it down into 60 seconds.
Yeah, very true. It's a labyrinth. It's a tough film to navigate at times. I don't know. This is a film for me that I still question whether I have actually seen this movie before, which is an absolute travesty. Once I saw this masterpiece, I mean, it's like, at least I've seen Masters of the Universe.
Mm-hmm.
If I hadn't seen Masters of the Universe either, then there would be something really wrong with me. But, I mean, this is up there with Masters of the Universe. There was a lot that was familiar, and I feel like I may have seen it, but I barely remember it. If you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I suggested this movie for you.
Yeah. Well, yes, Video Game Month is definitely going to be a lot of fun here. So I don't really have much of a history with the movie itself. Love the video games. I've had, like, every Nintendo that has been growing up. And so Mario has always been a big part of my life. And like I mentioned last week, you know, Luigi especially.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love the new Mario Brothers movie, too. So, Mario's cool shit, and I'm definitely glad to have seen this at a later age in life. I mean, should we just jump into it here, or, like, do you have any more that you want to say about your history with it?
Yeah, so, I did enjoy the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah.
I did enjoy it. The problem with it is, like, we all know Illumination Studios, who does, like, the Minions and I think it was, like, the Secret Life of Pets. And, like, yeah. They generally have a lot of edgy humor in their movies. Like, there's a lot of, like, layered humor. You know, adults can enjoy it, kids can enjoy it. And when I went and saw the Super Mario Brothers movie, there was none of that. And I know it was because, and that's the sad thing. This movie has still, it was so badly received. I say badly received because I love this movie. It was so badly received that we're still feeling the impact of it, much like the meteor in Brooklyn. Okay. So for me, it's like I wish that this movie had done better, because then we would probably have gotten this new movie that had a little bit more edgy humor, which, again, there were so many things that they could have added in the new one. But that's one thing I love about this film, is that it tries some crazy shit. Like, this movie is wild to the point that you have, like, Yoshi getting stabbed. You have King Koopa, who's not even a turtle, he's a T-Rex, like, morphing into a T-Rex. You've got the old king, you got Princess Daisy's dad is a big ball of fungus who's taken over the city. You know, it's so wild. And you got, I mean, it has nothing to do with the game. Absolutely. The only thing is, like, you got the Bob-ombs, you got the mushrooms, you got people by name, like, you got Toadstool, you know, or Toad. You know, it's
the,
like,
Thwomp. The Thwomp shoes, yeah.
It's so wild, but it tries, and that's what I appreciate. Like, this movie, if nothing, gets an A for effort.
It's almost like if it was made today, this is the result you would get if you asked AI to write a movie.
Oh, absolutely.
You would plug in information about it, and they'd be like, okay, Mario Kart. Okay, there's cars with sparks coming off of them. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. We got Bob-ombs. What the fuck does that look like? They're wearing Reeboks. Okay.
You know, and man. And it's such a wild film. Like, there's so much that goes on in this thing. And that's why it's like you said, it's like a fever dream. But also, you can't really just put any, like, you can't say, like, okay, this is a simple film.
Yeah.
It's not at all. Because, again, a great cast, by the way. A great cast.
Fantastic cast.
And honestly, like, the practical effects, in my opinion, are phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, like, there's so much. Like, I still don't understand why this was not appreciated for what it was.
Well, let's jump into Super Mario Bros. So, like you mentioned, directed by a husband-wife team of Annabelle Jankel and Rocky Morton, Harold Ramis was asked. But he turned it down, obviously. Produced by Jake Eberts and Roland Joffe, and written by Parker Bennett, Ted Runte, and an old friend of the show here, Ed Solomon, he's been on our show a lot. He's been name dropped a lot on this show, going back to, like, episode 3, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, let's talk about that cast. You just brought it up a few seconds ago. Now that we're here, I mean,
well, how many Mario totals?
Well, there's three Marios, obviously. Yes. I've got alternate castings here to share with you as we go through this list. Yes. So, I mean, first up, We got Bob Hoskins, right, as Mario. Alternate castings, Danny DeVito and Bruno Kirby both turned it down.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
I think I could see City Slickers Bruno Kirby.
Yeah. I could see Danny DeVito for sure.
Yeah. And then next up, I mean, well, you usually do cast list. I mean, here you got it up in front of me. Yeah. You go on. I'm just I'll jump in with, you know.
Absolutely.
Like I do.
Again, I feel like this has like a star-studded cast to a degree, obviously. Yeah. John Leguizamo as Luigi Mario.
Yeah. Tom Hanks was an alternate casting, but they decided so that weird. With the poor performance of Turner and Hooch and Joe versus the Volcano, they thought that he was like wasn't a box office draw anymore. So they're like, let's pass on Tom Hanks. But I don't think Tom Hanks probably minds.
Interesting. Anyways, continuing on, we got the man, the myth, the legend, Dennis Hopper. As the lizard, the myth, the legend, King Koopa. You know. Yeah.
And this one, alternate casting, Schwarzenegger, Michael Keaton, and Kevin Costner.
Wow.
Yeah.
That could have been wild.
That's three very different movies.
Absolutely.
You got Beetlejuice, you got Kindergarten Cop, and you got Dances with Wolves. I mean,
I was gonna say Waterworld.
Waterworld, yeah, I know, right? You've got your crush on Waterworld, that's for sure.
Oh man, I love that movie too. So next up as Princess Daisy, Samantha Mathis.
Yeah, what else is she in?
Broken Arrow was the one that I'm familiar with, okay. And then.
Who has a bigger mouth, her or Julia Roberts?
I mean, no comment. She was also an American Psycho.
Oh, okay, right.
Next up, we got Fisher Stevens as Iggy Koopa.
I love Fisher Stevens from my Short Circuit days.
Yes, and he's also in Succession now, if you've seen that at all.
I haven't, but
so he's still going strong in Hollywood. Short Circuit, he was what was it? In Hackers. What was he in? What was his name in Hacker? In Hackers. It's gonna bother me. I need to look it up. He was like the virus or something. Oh my god. I'm sorry. I have to find this out real quick.
There was something else I saw him in recently where I was surprised.
The Plague. The Plague. That was his name. he was like a 40-year-old dude who worked for a big corporation who was. Have you ever seen Hackers?
No, yes, but it's been a minute.
Yeah, so Fisher Stevens was like the guy who was working for the corporate company as like their head of like IT/anti-hacking task force, and he was just this like 40-year-old dude who rode around on a skateboard and called himself the Plague.
Okay.
Yeah. Next up, you got Richard Edson as Spike Koopa, which it was so funny because at one point these two get evolved, and they become like super smart, and it's just hilarious to see them like go back and forth and talk shit about Koopa in front of his face.
Yeah, this is another guy that it's like, where do I know him from?
Yeah.
And then it hit me. He's in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, isn't he? Isn't he the one of the garage guys? One of the garage attendants?
He is.
Okay.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
That's a good spot, man. I'm impressed. That's a good spot.
What's funny is my phone is still giving me troubles here, and I pulled that out of my brain just now.
Up next, we got, I have a weird, like, confession about this next casting. You know, have you ever heard the term, Dommy Mommy? Or Dom Mommy?
From context, I think I can understand what it means. I don't know if I've come across that term on my extensive use of sites like Pornhub.
So you got Fiona Shaw as Lena.
Oh yeah, who, you do.
In the movie, like, she's obviously like thirsty for King Koopa. She's there for the power. She's just like riding his coattails and something else probably. And you know, she's wearing these like really tight, like aggressive dresses and outfits, and she's just
low backs. Yeah,
she's just this very like dommy mommy kind of character. Uh-huh. And I'll tell you what, I don't know what else she's been in. I'm gonna look real quick, but I'm there for it every time she's on screen. Like, she commands the screen very, very well. You know, she was Petunia, Aunt Dursley.
She's Mrs. Dursley.
Yeah. Oh, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So would you say that, like, Catherine O'Hara in Beetlejuice is also a dommy mommy?
Oh, absolutely. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, she so anybody that can
I'm
really
picking
like
picking up on the vibe, yeah.
Command, like, she has a very commanding presence. You know? Captain Janeway.
Okay, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I see the fetish. I'm following along with you on this one.
And then some lesser knowns. You got Dana Kaminsky as Daniela, which I believe is it's Mario's girlfriend, I believe. Which is weird because how old is Mario supposed to be? And he's still
He's pulling some young.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. He's punching up.
He's punching up a weight class or two.
Yeah, he's.
I mean, not we're not saying this because he's short.
No.
But he's definitely not reaching that the top shelf of Dana Kaminsky.
But you know, it's kind of like the Joe Pesci, Marissa Tomei relationship in My Cousin Vinny. I mean, it's the same sort of, you got to give this dumpy little Italian guy, some car-loving hot girlfriend, you know?
Yeah. Positrans, okay? You got Mojo Nixon as Toad, and here's the fucked up thing. Okay, so Mojo Nixon on IMDb doesn't even get his own picture. Like, his picture is literally the Toad.
Yeah, this is
or the Goomba
profile,
or the Goomba.
Absolutely. I was sitting there watching him before he transforms, and it's like, you know, if this was made today, that would be like Ed Helms playing that part.
That's a good one too. And you got the greaseball Gianni Russo as Anthony Scapelli, Francesca P. Roberts as Big Boom Boom Bertha, and that's really about it.
But shout out Lance Henriksen, who is King Bowser, or like the pile of snot before he becomes King Bowser. But, you know, like I he's Bishop. You always got to give a shout out to Lance Henriksen when he shows up in something.
Wait, he was the what?
He's Bishop in Aliens.
No. I know he's Bishop, but he's
King Bowser. Because at the end, when he gets re-evolved.
Oh,
that's
so they
Lance
made
Hendrickson.
They made him Bowser.
Yes.
I never noticed that.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, technically, I guess he's, like, he's Jack Black.
Interesting.
Technically, he's that
King
one.
And that's the problem, is there's no King Koopa. There's no President Koopa. There's King of the Koopas,
uh-huh.
You know, and King of the King of the Koopas is Bowser.
Yeah.
So that's how it's supposed to be. So obviously this is one of those writing things that just didn't make any sense.
No, but it doesn't.
But I want to give a special, an absolute special shout out.
MVP.
To Sylvia Harmon, who was the old lady who needs Koopa coins. Give me Koopa coins.
What do I know her from, too? Like, she's another one. Like,
are you boys new here?
Is she in The Wedding Singer? The one that has the speech about, oh, you guys are so cute, like Bert and Lonnie.
Oh, no. No, that's not her.
Okay.
She was in Hoops with Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh.
Let's see. Or not Hoops, Eddie. It was called Eddie. Let's see. The Wedding Singer. You're talking about Ellen Albertini Dow.
Okay.
Yeah, she's the one who's like in all the stuff. She's it was a Wedding Singer, Wedding Crashers, Without a Paddle, Sister Act. She's in all that stuff.
Okay.
I
just thought the Koopa woman was someone that looked familiar though. Mm-hmm. So she's one of those people that's in that thing.
Yeah, and that's and the rest of everybody's like nuns and, you know, Baby in the Egg.
Yeah. So, we I mean, okay, so like you said about the poster, you know, it's this iconic poster, and the movie opens up with like the classic Mario theme, and then like the heavily pixelated story about dinosaurs. Is this to make you think that you're like watching a video game?
Yeah,
you
know,
like the. The beginning story of a video game, you know, which nowadays are look as good as live action. Yeah.
It's like life doesn't get better than this. You know, the dinosaurs with a Brooklyn accent, which was ridiculous. I'm just going to say, like, everything from start to finish in this movie is absolute ridiculous insanity. And, you know, I've always been here for it since I was a kid. And there's so many interesting things to like remember and reminisce about this, but like obviously we open up on, you know, the beginning of the film is Princess Daisy's mom, I guess Queen Daisy or Queen whatever, escaping from the dinosaur dimension,
the parallel dimension,
taking this torpedo metal object to a convent, a nunnery.
Take thee to a nunnery. Yes, absolutely. That's what you do. Yeah, I mean, it was either that or a fire department, right?
Yeah, like,
those
exactly.
are the two places you stereotypically leave a baby.
That would be an interesting switch up. Like, what if she had been dropped off at a firehouse, you know?
Yeah.
But instead, you know, she was dropped off at an orphanage, like, ran by nuns.
Yeah.
St. Teresa's on 23rd, I think it was. And then there's the crystal, and then the nuns bring in the device. Why didn't they call the police? Uh-huh. Okay. They bring in this metallic device with a crystal on it. It opens up. There's an egg. And they're just like, okay. Aw, it's
nice.
An egg.
An egg. You know? Right on. Yeah.
I don't know if nuns eat omelets, but they were in for a real treat if that thing didn't hatch.
Fuck, that would have fed all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and then she runs. So here's one thing that I really liked about, you know, upon rewatching this gem was one thing I never noticed was that the coat that Princess Daisy's mom was wearing was one of the Goomba jackets.
Oh. Huh. Okay.
I never noticed that until this final time watching it. So I thought that was pretty interesting, which maybe was like kind of a tip of the cap that the Goombas have always been on the side of the Queen, and that's why, you know, maybe they were helping. Or, I mean, And that kind of leaves another question: was did Koopa develop? Because if you look at it, he was a general at that time. Because she's like, oh, she said General Koopa. You know, if he was a general, did he develop the Goombas as soldiers?
You know what you need, Aaron?
Yeah.
You need the prequel.
I do need a prequel. I need to write the prequel.
There you go.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it's like when they came out with that Krypton series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do it. That's a fantastic idea. I need to write this down. Keep talking.
Well, that's all I'll say about that for now. I'll leave your gears turning. But TM, copyright. Yeah. The idea came out on this show. There you go. So, yeah, and then after the baby is born out of the egg and you realize what a ridiculous treat you're in for, and, you know, catching a little glimpse of Dennis Hopper, the man, the myth, the legend right there. And then we end up meeting Mario and Luigi, who are wearing the wrong colors each.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. You got Mario in the green jacket and you got, you know, a Luigi in the red hoodie.
Let me ask you this, okay? If you were raised by a chef,
yeah,
would you not grow up knowing how to cook?
Well, I mean, you would think. I mean, there is the, you know, teach a man to fish, right?
Yeah.
So there is that idea of it, but if you're always being fed and like you would think that you would at least observe enough to know.
Exactly.
But it's, you know, I think it is also upon the parent to put the effort into teaching them a little something.
But you get where I'm going from.
Yeah, I do understand that, yes.
How? Because he's like, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead, But there's a part where, you know, Luigi and Mario and Daisy and I forget his Daniela, they're on the date, and he's like, you know, he's been my mother my entire life, my father, my sister, my brother, whatever. And it's like, so you've been around him your entire life, and you're still only an apprentice plumber. Yeah. Like, how old is he? He's probably at least 20, 21.
At least. Okay.
At least. Okay. I'm fine. That's my only qualm with this movie.
Mm. Well, he does point out at one point that it is his experience playing video games that helps him in one specific situation.
True.
You know, like when he... What was it that they were doing? He was hacking into something.
In the car.
He's hacking the car, and you know, how do you know how to do that? That's what I get from sitting around playing video games. So it I guess is implied that this Luigi is a deadbeat, like that he's useless. He likes different kinds of pipes, you know.
This implies that Mario is a terrible, like, you know, father figure.
That too, absolutely. Yeah,
disappointing. Okay, we also find out that King Bowser, or see, King Koopa, because King Bowser is fungus in this apparently, but King Koopa is a germaphobe.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand the wax hands. I the mud bath, like,
yeah.
were these personal requests of Dennis Hopper's, do you think? Because I understand that he likes doing some bizarre things to really get into character.
The only thing I can think of is that the wax hands was like a paraffin thing. Like, he's obviously very you know, he likes to dress well, he's very
proper.
He's pampered. I was gonna say he's pampered. You know, he's like very. He likes to take care of his skin. So that's why,
especially from the mommy.
Yeah. So that's why he has the mud bath. And then also, like, he did, like, that's like paraffin wax on his hands. And paraffin wax is supposed to be like, you know, like healing to the skin, and you know, it's supposed to help with get rid of dead skin cells and all that jazz.
Yeah. Well, that's why I wonder if it was his personal request. He's like, oh, I want to make my character a germaphobe.
A germaphobe who likes to pamper himself.
Yeah. Like, is that what it's like living in Howie Mandel's house?
I don't know.
Little Bobby's World. Nice.
Little Bobby's World. Yeah.
Not bad. Yeah.
Oh, man. No, so that was an interesting. Yeah, that was interesting with him. But, like, so we see that, and then we see the fact that the spikes were trying to capture. Daisy is the only one that can approach the meteor with the crystal for some reason. So Bowser needs to capture, or excuse me, Koopa. God, it's going to fuck me up the entire show. Koopa needs to capture Daisy so that Daisy can use the rock to complete the meteor to merge the dimensions.
Yes.
Okay.
That old chestnut.
And then he obviously wants to marry her because he wants to be king. So there's another subplot there. Mm-hmm.
Tyrannical leader always needs to have a damsel that he's going to force to marry him. I mean, that at least is consistent when it comes to Mario.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she's also always in another castle.
Yeah, that too.
One thing that I really did enjoy about this one in particular was the traveling between worlds.
Yeah.
That was
the effect itself, or just the idea that there's two different dimensions?
The effect itself, because there was no pipes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no pipe travel. I'll say that. There was not a single crawling of, near, around, on, or through a pipe in this game.
Not a single choo 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 choo.
I take that back. There was one time, and that was on a crazy mattress ride.
That's right. Yes.
But that's much further in the movie.
Yeah. Well, so now we get to meet Daisy, though, as a grown woman,
mm-hmm.
when the truck breaks down. Yes. And she needs to use the phone, and Luigi just falls head over heels in love. They should have
love at first sight.
See, they went so bizarre with it, they could have gone even more bizarre. They could have done like a Scott Pilgrim style shit to it where he gets hearts over his head and stuff like that. Like, imagine the wild things that, like, if you're going to push it this far, go further. Oh my God. Come in and give me a George Lucas special edition on this, you know, like add some CGI.
Yeah. There's a lot. I mean, they could definitely recut this, but there's also a lot of deleted scenes that we'll talk about later. But yeah, like, he falls madly in love, head over heels, love at first sight with Daisy, even hangs up on a job to give her the phone so she can call her university, because the Scapelli company is harassing her university dig because they want to keep their job, or they want to keep working on whatever site project that they were apparently blasting in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
For. So, interesting thing there.
You know what I love in this scene, though, as Mario is trying to fix the radiator, is the sight gag that they have there. I don't know if you noticed it.
Which part?
Well, I can tell you about it in Sponsorship Corner! Yeah, because I found some, I read it, and then I saw it when I watched this a second time. Oh, I did watch it multiple times. I made sure that I got at least two viewings in on this one. Well, always on the lookout for product placements in movies, this week Super Mario Brothers is brought to you by Chevrolet and GMC Vehicles, Pepsi Cola, Motorola, Reebok, Visa, MasterCard, the New York Post, New York Telephone, and Evian Water. And there is one point in this scene, because that's what he's filling the radiator with. $3! Ah! You got tap water.
Everybody's got tap water.
But it's while Luigi and Daisy are awkwardly having an exchange and Mario is trying to push them into things, he holds up the Evian bottle next to his temple upside down so it spells the word naive.
Oh.
Which is what Luigi is at that moment. So I think it's an intentional sight gag. But I love that it was something that could also get me into Sponsorship Corner. Plus, there are ones that I'm not sure whether they're real or fake, whether it's like, you know, we're going to be filming on this street, or whether it's actually like great set decoration, because some of them are like, there's one called Italian Gourmet Pizza. I don't know if that's a restaurant name. Sue Ann's Shoes, Fulton Flowers, Swisher, Great Menus Publications, Penny Budget Store, Mr. Video 3, Louise's Dogs, and then, of course, in the Koopa land, we've got Bullet Bill's, the Lizard Lounge, you know, and, of course, Scapelli's Construction and Mario Brothers Plumbing. And this has been Sponsorship Corner.
There's only one thing I'm surprised you left out.
Hmm.
Brought to you by the Super Scope.
Oh my God, brought to you by the Super Scope. Yes, I do love that the portable
De-evolution
the portable
ray.
De-evolution ray is just a spray-painted Super Scope. That was fantastic. Yeah.
So I'm sad they didn't have like a power glove in there somewhere.
All right. That would have been outstanding. I love the power glove. It's so bad.
So bad.
Oh, I was quoting the wizard.
It's bad. I thought he said it's okay.
Yeah. And we get to meet our weirdos, Iggy and Spike.
Yeah. Iggy and Spike Koopa, the cousins.
Oh, Fisher Stevens was they were both so much fun.
They were.
But like, yeah.
They said it's dog. So those two are the ones who are tasked with hunting down Princess Daisy and getting the crystal back to the parallel dimension. And apparently they've messed it up 4 to 5 times before, but they finally get it right that night. when Daisy and when Daisy, Daniela, Mario, and Luigi Mario all go out for dinner at a. Is it just me, or do they go to an Italian restaurant?
I think they go to an Italian restaurant. Yeah, one of them has spaghetti for sure.
Yeah. Ah, you know.
Why would you go anywhere else?
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. And when you're at Olive Garden, you're family. You know?
You are family.
So yeah, they that's when the whole thing happens with the Scapellis. As I said in my synopsis, the Scapellis are trying to force Daisy and her university dig crew out of the dig site because she is an archaeologist, because she's obsessed with the history, because probably she doesn't have any of her own, you know?
Yeah, I know. And this poor lady, she's like bullied by mobsters. She's followed by these weirdos. Like, it's just.
She's got it bad, you know? But she is a princess. she can afford the therapy.
She can.
So they go to the date. Luigi asks to walk her home. She offers to show him the dig. They go to the dig. She shows them some bones. And lo and behold, who do you think is there in uniform to destroy the dig site? That's right. It's the Scapelli construction crew. Wearing their work shirts, man.
I mean, it's like, Frank, I know it's you. Like, why wouldn't you put a ski mask on, you know, some different clothing?
Yeah, like a black shirt, something a little, you know, clandestine. No, you wear freaking work uniform. Frank, I can see it's you. You're wearing a name tag, buddy. You know?
Yeah. I'm wondering whether they put in that line about, oh, yeah, we can't even have a security guard here and everything like that. ADR, because they're like, oh, wait, there's a missing piece of why wasn't there anyone watching the site?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody could watch that site. There's probably not even a lock on the gate, you know? But yeah, so again, like earlier I said, they somehow, before the entire thing floods, which I guess they couldn't have flooded all the way because there's like cracks and the crags, whatever. But they run back to Mario's house, which
literally
is funny.
Run. Yeah, like, run. Without a vehicle.
And who knows? Anyways, geography doesn't matter in the Mario universe. He could have pipe traveled back and we didn't know it fucking possible.
That's where they left the pipes out.
Yeah. So they go back, grab Mario. Mario grabs his tools. And they take him back to the, dig site, because Luigi's only an apprentice and he can't fix it himself.
Mm-hmm. It felt like they just turned on valves. Like, did they even actually do any damage in there? Like,
no.
Luigi could have figured that out.
Yeah,
I know how to turn off a sprinkler.
I think it was funny because if you watch Bob Hoskins like actually like work on the pipes, he's not even like, he's just putting the piece like behind the water and like turning something.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like it's not even attached to anything. And then, you know, they walk over to like the valves, like you said, and they just like pretend to troublesomely effort to turn the pipes and close the water valves.
Yeah.
It's terrible. But that gives the Spike and Ziggy, or Iggy, excuse me, Spike Iggy. And Iggy, the chance to knock out, with flashlights, by the way, tiny metal flashlights, they knock out Luigi and Mario and kidnap Princess Daisy and take her back to the dinosaur dimension.
Yeah. But, hey, you know, that's where we see that it's also a good thing that Mario was with him then, because he doesn't know how to listen to echoes and pipes.
True. And if he had, it could have been a very different movie, a solo Luigi film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Luigi's Mansion. The spin-off movie. Yeah.
Yes.
Which, you know, would be nothing like Luigi's Mansion is supposed to be in this techno Mad Max, you know, post-apocalyptic hellscape that is this Jesus. Super Mario Bros.
Honestly, yeah. Like, you know, the dinosaur dimension just reminds me of Doctor or of Judge Dredd. Like, you're in like Mega City 1, all right, and the cops are the judges, you know?
Yeah, or Demolition Man when they go down into Dennis Leary's area.
Yes.
Yeah, you got some of that vibe, or Futurama when they go down into the sewers with the mutants.
The Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Who runs Bottertown?
Like, is this place inside? Like, why does it feel like there's no sky to this place?
It is, actually. So, believe it or not, this whole thing was filmed in a cement factory.
Okay. But there is the question, though, is the world inside? Like, is this dimension in the core of the Earth? Because that doesn't make it another dimension.
I could see that being, like, it's not necessarily, it could be in a, maybe.
Like, there's the point when he spins his globe, and he's like, all this endless desert and my city. That's all that's here, right? And so, but it, like, is there an... Is there an Earth around it? Like, are they mole people in a way? Because
interesting, that's an interesting thought. Like the in the new Godzilla versus King Kong, they went through some kind of warp thing just to go into the cavernous part of the world, right?
Okay, I see. I haven't seen the Godzilla versus King Kong, so I know.
Wow,
I know.
So, like in that movie, there's like they called it the. Like basically below the Earth's crust, there's like a opening, and it's the I forget what the terminology
well,
is. Well,
I've seen
it.
Land of the Lost.
Yeah,
so.
So it's kind of kind of like the same thing as that, and maybe but that's what this is.
Yeah, maybe, but the but except for the pixelation through solid brick wall thing, I mean that's the only thing that makes it dimensional.
That
but
was pretty cool.
It could have just been a fissure in the Earth.
True.
That's and these true. People just live down there.
It could have been some kind of gaseous like release of like, you know, some old fungi.
Yeah.
That made them like hallucinate as they traveled down this like waterway.
Yeah. I would like to know that once why when we get into the Bowser Kingdom, the Mushroom Kingdom, I guess it is, because there's some fungus and mushroom. Why is everything still in English? They should have made up some lizard language of some sort.
A lot of like parcel tongue from the from the Harry Potter series or from
there
you
go.
Know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's true. There it's always interesting. I mean, it is again a parallel Earth. Here's a question. If it's a parallel dimension,
mm-hmm.
or is it a parallel dimension or is it just an alternate dimension?
I'm not sure.
I would say it's probably like an alternate dimension versus a parallel dimension. Because an alternate dimension doesn't necessarily have the same people, because if it was a parallel dimension, there would be like another. There'd be like a. I mean, we could even say there'd be like a Wario and a Waluigi.
Hmm. True. I mean, if they're already wearing the wrong colors to begin with, we could already be in some sort of bizarro Mario world anyway. That's why we get this Mario, and then the sanitized Super Mario Brothers movie from this year.
True.
Does that mean
We have a Super Mario multiverse?
Yeah, I think so.
The Mario-verse?
The Mario-verse. Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, this movie just, it was already bizarre, but now we just go bizarre to the nth power. Once we get to the, once we get to the alternate dimension, man.
There's a lot going on. Yeah, a lot of angry people. I mean, I was also going to say that I understand because it was filmed in a cement factory that, okay, logistically, that's why you never see the sky. But I am mm-hmm. wondering whether, yes, does this world have a sky?
Does it have a sun? Does it have a... Yeah, because, I mean, it could be when he spins it, it's just like this dark red planet.
Yeah.
Maybe they weren't blasted into an alternate dimension. Maybe this city was a piece that was broken off the Earth that has now become like Mars.
Huh?
And it's like the dark side of Mars, and there's this one city
wormhole that gets you there.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, sure. Well, whatever it is, yeah, it is insane.
Yes.
Now, and as soon as I started seeing it, it's like, okay, I appreciate what they're trying to do, and for all the reasons that you're throwing love at it, where I just say, I get it. Again, it's that AI program that heard all these words and they're like, okay, thwomp, sure, yeah. They're shoes. But, and everything kind of looks like Mario stuff because of the jagged, things. Like when you're in the hallways of the office.
Yeah. A lot of spikes everywhere.
A lot of
grays, a lot of, darkened corners, a lot of sparks,
Mm-hmm. And all these creatures walking around with tiny heads.
Yes.
Yeah, the Goombas are definitely an interesting take on what a Goomba is.
Very true. They're like 7 feet tall with tiny Goomba heads. And the other thing that also threw me off was, I gotta say this again, one thing I will till the day I die, I will spout positive things about, is the practical effects of this film. You know, you got like human-like people walking around. You got people that look like lizard hybrids walking around. You got
animatronic heads.
You got women walking around pushing their eggs in strollers. Like, you know, it's pretty wild. You know, you got little dinosaurs like running around. They're like rats in the city. You know, scrounging and stuff. So that, I thought it was really, really cool.
The budget of like the costuming and these sets and all that's it must have been insane. Like I know the budget was $48 million, but I mean, how they used it and the amount of work that they put into this thing that made not even half of it back, you definitely got to appreciate the swing.
Absolutely.
I see how you are. Like I'm with you on that. You got to appreciate the swing.
I just want to know I want to know what the breakdown of the budget was. Like I want to know what the actors were paid for this movie.
Yeah.
You know, cuz there's got to be some kind of like a huge amount of it was, like you said, like practical effects, and it's got to be like a minimal amount for the stars, which were quite a few. Like Dennis Hopper, he's a big name.
Yeah, Dennis Hopper would have been, Bob Hoskins would have been, John Leguizamo would have still been young and new. I don't think he was demanding the big bucks back then.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, like at least Bob Hoskins would have had he's got some clout with Roger Rabbit under his belt by that point, you know. Yeah, you know, oh, Roger Rabbit and Hook. He would have had Hook under his belt by then too.
Oh,
so it's like, oh yeah, you're a family movie guy. Smee. We got you. Yeah,
he's me. Like one thing, you know, the fully functional, Yoshi puppet. That thing cost $500,000 alone.
Jeez.
You know,
it was quite the puppet.
Yeah, they said producers from Jurassic Park actually visited the set and were impressed by that puppet.
Nice. As they should be.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just, man. Again, even up to this point, like, we have so much more to go, but, like, again, I'm just, I was definitely impressed, especially, you know, even the soundtrack really was well done with a lot of the transitions. Like, when they first see the Mushroom Kingdom and was it, like, Koopa City, or what was it called?
Koopa City, I think.
I mean, yeah. But, yeah, they you know, there's, like, the soundtrack is, like, it's very imposing, so I really like that. Like this whole movie was really filled with a lot of things that really kept me like hooked, and even as a kid I remember thinking like, wow, like there's so many good aspects of this movie.
Yeah, well, I do have a big glaring plot hole for you though.
Ooh, tell me.
Yeah, well, there is the point when they're arrested and they sit down and, oh, your lawyer's here. And they say, you know, yeah, we want to speak to the Koopa clown.
Mm-hmm.
How do they not recognize him? Because his face is everywhere in the city. Giant pictures of his face. Like, and that ridiculous hairdo. Like, how do they not recognize him as soon, like, you know?
I'll do you one better.
Okay.
There's no roof on that room.
Yeah.
And those cages were very, very high.
Uh-huh.
How did not a single other criminal or other person who was locked in there see him and recognize him?
Huh. Yeah. That's true.
Especially walking in. Like, someone should have been like, it's King Koopa! You know, or you know, suddenly something like, it's President Koopa! Like, people should have been going nuts and they should have seen that. I agree. How did they not see him? How did they not recognize him?
Yeah. His picture is everywhere. Like, if you live in, you know, the Russia, you know what Lenin looks like. You know what, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, that's what dictators do, is they put up their picture everywhere. And that's what King Koopa, or President Koopa, does, I guess. It's president, not king.
So one thing I saw that, you know, to jump off of that was, like, there's the scene that I thought was really interesting was when he tells them who he is, and then he shows them the de-evolution room.
Yeah.
And we see a flash of, or okay, let me, so the, we see the room. What did he do? He was going to de-evolve them, I believe. And instead, like, they fight the guards and the scientists. And then at one point, one of the scientists is like slipping around on the floor. And apparently that was somebody like a scientist. That big puddle of green was like one of the scientists who like said something against Koopa, and he de-evolved him down to like a single cell, like past fungus to like that pile of goo.
To slime. Yeah.
To slime. And then they grab Koopa, they put him in the chair, push him back, and de-evolve him into Jurassic period, which apparently only goes for like a couple of seconds. But then it's kind of odd. And he has like that weird like flash of his eye, and then later on in the movie we see him like kind of like morph his face almost dinosaurish.
So
was there no like real effect of him being slightly de-evolved, or was it just going to be like a long time to take effect?
Well, see, I took it as they used the machine wrong.
Yeah.
And so they didn't properly de-evolve him, but he got a quick blast of it.
Yeah, like almost got irradiated.
Yeah, which is what just made his it's like, yeah, he had a bit of a reaction to this little zap, and his eye did the thing, and I don't know. I think that inner lizard is just always in there, is my thought. Or maybe, like, the morphing of the face was because of that 5-second blast, is that the inner lizard is just a little bit closer to the surface.
Yeah. One thing I thought was really cool, though, and I didn't notice this until this viewing, was also the fact that Dennis Hopper, when he's walking around, he keeps his arms close to him like a T-Rex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'd never noticed that before until this viewing.
Well, see, and I didn't take it like that, which is funny that now I see that he is doing just that. But I took it as the germaphobe thing. He was keeping it tucked in.
Yeah.
But both work. Yeah. Both make sense.
She finds out from Lena, you know, after being captured, she finds, you know, the Princess Daisy finds out that she is royalty. She's Princess Daisy. Mm-hmm. I guess Princess Daisy Bowser.
I guess so.
So, which is an interesting twist. And King Koopa wants to marry Princess Daisy Bowser to become King Koopa Bowser.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe they're going to hyphenate. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
At this time, we also got, you know, when that's going on, I think we've already had the escape of Mario and Luigi. They've escaped the police station. They've stolen a car. They've driven it out of the city into the scorched earth.
Yeah.
And now they're just trying to get back to the city. When they run into evolved Spike and Iggy, who are also tasked with finding the rock.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I do like the chase out of the city. I like their banter where, you know, I think you should take the off ramp. No, I'll take the tunnel. Aha, you took the tunnel.
Yeah.
You told me to take the off ramp. Well, I only said that because I knew you would take the tunnel.
And so, who doesn't do that?
they had a lot of fun back and forth in this movie, which definitely, there's a lot coming at you in this movie that it's almost hard to pay attention even to what they're saying. But what they're saying is so funny and ridiculous at the same time, too.
They definitely had good chemistry on screen, like good friendship vibes. You know, when you say that there's a lot coming at you on the screen, a lot of it does kind of remind me of, you know, when we reviewed Spawn. Mm-hmm. All right. Spawn was the same way. There's just like so many things on the screen, so many nods, so many like details, so many like flashes, lightning, fire, gunfire, explosions. And this movie is very much the same way. It's very kinetic. It's very chaotic, which I think is really cool, because it just lends itself to that world building element of this hellscape of a planet.
Well, now I think of like Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet as well, and just think, is this how John Leguizamo picks his projects? Is it's like whatever is going to be so visually overloading
True.
That's what I'm going to do. I mean, here we are, you know, we've done two John Leguizamo movies and you've been involved in both of them.
I'm honored. And then they get out to the city, they meet up with Spike, and they realize, so because of how intelligent Spike and Iggy are now, they formulate that it's best for all parties involved for them to team up, get the crystal, the shard back, yeah, for the dark crystal. I mean, the meteorite.
Enemy of my enemy is my friend and all
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Yeah. So they need to track down Big Boom Boom Bertha over at the Lizard Lounge.
Yes, you do. Sure do. And Big Boom Boom Bertha is like, she, like, girl, you're working it.
She is. There's that scene. She's like,
I would go. I mean, she's just dripping sex appeal. Yes. I was a little into Big Boom Boom Bertha. As much as the Aunt Petunia vibes were given off to you, yeah, I had a thing for Thwomp Lady. She was
nice. Yeah, she. There's that. You know, he Mario says nobody can resist the Mario charm.
Yeah,
you know, and he walks up to her and goes, the way your fist and, you know, your knuckles smashed into my face as you punched me, it really, you know, changed my life. And she said, dance with me. What'd she say? Dance with me,
little man. Or
little man, little, and I'll hit you all you like.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, both Mario brothers do exude plenty of charm in their own ways. I mean,
they do.
Yeah, like, yeah, Luigi was very charming on his date, and Mario has his own charm. And, I mean, both of those men, you know, good on them. And then they come into this club, like, just dressed like pimps in their
yellow and red suit. It was, like, almost pink.
Burgundy? Yeah, like, I got, like, a fuchsia vibe. I don't know. But, like, then we've got Mario with his dance to try to get the stone back. And I loved every minute of that dance so much.
And, again, more songs that'll stick with you.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, motorboats for the one, for the one crystal. And then, and Walk the Dinosaur, which is one of those things where that's why I feel like I've seen the movie, is because I feel like it's this movie is why I know that song before anything else, you know? Yeah. And so
the other thing that I think a few people might have missed was, did you notice that the woman who was at the coat check, who actually calls the Koopa,
calls
in the tip, is the same woman that they asked where they were in the beginning of the movie?
Oh, okay. No, I did not notice.
And she's like, "You're in my way. Move."
Yeah. Yeah. Tell you where you are in my way. That was a good line.
Yep.
That was a good line. And it's like, "Are you sure you're not still in New York?" Oh, hey.
let's see. And then they get the crystal. I think. Oh no. Is that when Lena gets the crystal?
Yeah, more or less. Like they get back. Yeah, and. And this is when Luigi pockets one of the bombs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's like, hey, another one of these things. I should take this one. I swear, Mario, the fungus is talking to me. Yeah, and then they get their, and they have their rocket boots, and then they, like, level up their outfits.
Yep.
Yeah, and then that's about the time that Lena gets the crystal for herself, though.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, because how do they lose it again? Because they get it back. Oh, no, they lose it in the club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought because that's who shows up. That's who came.
That's right. That's
because
right.
Of the tip.
That's and right. So she yes. gets it. Yes. I'm sorry. I did jump over that part.
And then she, you know, from then going forward, Lena basically says, screw Koopa, and decides to try and go unite
screw
the.
Screw Yoshi.
Yeah, screw Yoshi, screw Koopa.
I'll just shank Yoshi.
Yeah. Fuck. And goes and tries to do to put the crystal together by herself.
Mm-hmm.
But
she's not the chosen one.
She's not the chosen one. And then she ends up pulling a Marv from Home Alone and becomes a skeleton, like, oh, skeleton, and flies into the wall. This is the point where there's so much stuff going on in the film that I actually start to lose track of everything. you know?
Yeah, we've got Yoshi, and the whole thing with the whole thing with Toad. Like, I like that they put the harmonica back on him so that you knew who he was. But yeah, they've got him looking for steamed vegetables and getting lit on fire. And
Oh my God.
And Iggy and Spike show back up, and you know, while she's putting him out. And then you've also got Mario looking for the kidnapped women. I do like the one woman that constantly has a cigarette. Even when they're going down on the mattress, she's holding that cigarette. That's all she does. And
there's the one who's always doing aerobics.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the one that ruins it for them all, you know. Oh, hey Mario.
Hey Mario.
Yeah, so you got that going on. You've got Luigi and Mario trying to escape in the elevator by rocking the Goombas in time to the music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good. And then
Tan Hut. Hut.
And that's you know, right around the time is when they actually get like Mario and Luigi-esque overalls and stuff on, so they're in the building because they find them like they're using the duct work, not pipes, but they're kind of using the pipe work / duct work to get through the building. And this is all while Koopa is preparing for the combining of the dimensions, the merging of the dimensions to you know, basically go in and invade New York, which I don't really know what his plan was because he doesn't have that many Goombas.
Now, you want to hear one of the most batshit things? Out of all the batshit things that is in, we've already talked about in this movie, this is the craziest thing that I heard, was that they actually wrote a cameo for Bruce Willis to be in the ductwork. And it's like, just when you thought this movie couldn't get any crazier, somehow you combined Super Mario Bros. With the Die Hard universe, Die Hard. Which is also canonically part of the Speed universe, because of the Pacific Courier plane that the bus crashes into and explodes at the end, is the same company that they show up to Nakatomi Plaza in Pacific Courier.
No shit.
Yeah, Speed and Die Hard are in the same universe.
Damn. That's interesting.
Yeah. Just like how Gremlins, Goonies, and there's one other Gremlins, Goonies, and Explorers are all in the same universe.
Oh my God, we're going to have to talk about this more. We're going to talk about this more. That's insane. I do know that, obviously, Aliens and Predator, you know, the Ridley Scott universe, but also Blade Runner as well.
Blade Runner's part of that.
Yep, yep.
Oh, okay.
So it's been confirmed. We're going on a huge side quest here. It's confirmed that the I forget what they're called, but the, you know, the robots, the androids from Blade Runner are the predecessors to the androids from, you know, Weyland Yutani.
Bishop.
And yeah.
Wow. See, and you brought it back, Lance Hendrickson. So Super Mario Brothers. No, it's the Gremlins that are the connecting tissue of all three movies, because in Explorers, there's a newspaper that has a headline that talks about that incident in Mandrake Falls.
Really?
And Chunk is on the phone when he phones the sheriff.
Yep.
The sheriff says, oh, sure, Chunk, this is probably like that time you told me about the little green creatures that were blah, something, something, something.
Yeah, that whatever with water.
Yeah.
Reproduce with water. Yeah.
So it. that's how those ones are linked in that universe. So, yeah, you would have brought Speed, Die Hard, and Super Mario Brothers. I mean, maybe headcanon. I'll always say that there's a John McClane cameo in this movie.
I'll allow it. let's wrap up this plot. All right, with the fact that they do eventually get the crystal. Combined with the main meteorite, the worlds do start merging.
It's a very Smallville filling in the shard type moment with
with
the crystal at the end. Yeah. Yes,
and it's like a It's like a Clapper situation where it's happening and not happening. You're not sure it's working or not because they're merging, they're unmerging, they're merging, they're unmerging. I actually heard that there was a deleted scene in the beginning of the film where King Koopa, or President Koopa, when he was chasing Daisy's mom, he was like in awe of the city and the buildings and they're just like the scope of it all. Mm-hmm. And that's why when you look at the city, there's so many of these like tall buildings because he wanted to recreate that. So that's partly why he's so obsessed with merging the dimensions and getting back to that like magnificent cityscape that he saw. Mm-hmm. So
we... can I say that, I mean, 1993 had no idea, but the merging, the moment that the World Trade Center starts merging in there, it just felt so wrong now.
Yeah, a little dirty. Yeah. A little dirty.
That one hurt a little bit, yeah. And I'm Canadian, and that one hurt a little bit, you know? Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
They didn't know. It's okay. They were 8 years ahead of themselves.
Yeah, I know. Like, just any time I see the World Trade Center in a movie, it's just like, wow.
I do the same thing whenever I see like old posters or old photos of New York and it's still like you see the World Trade Center there. But yeah, so you get to the point where, you know, that finally they, you know, so, and the reason the dimensions are merging and unmerging is because Luigi and Daisy are actually trying to pull that piece out of the meteorite. They finally get it out.
That's what she said.
Yeah. The dimensions unmerge and you have the final battle between Mario, Luigi, and King Koopa.
Yeah.
You know, and
the big flying battle, wire work going on. I mean, like you said, practical effects.
So this is when Luigi finally uses the ba-bomb. He like winds it up. It does this weird, crazy like route throughout the scene while there's like still fighting.
The Rube Goldberg of it all. Yeah. I mean, it was beautiful. I loved it.
I believe Mario hits King Koopa or President Koopa with a de-evolution ray, you know,
and
melts him into goo, and then that somehow turns him into a giant, weird shaped T-Rex coming out of a bucket, and then he hits him even more with the ray, and he just turns into slime, and there ends the reign of President Koopa.
Mm-hmm. And then we got to get our boys home.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the end of it. Other than them somehow after de-evolving King Koopa or President Koopa, that causes King Bowser to re-evolve?
Yeah.
I don't really know how that worked. But okay. If that's another plot point. If he just re-evolved, how come none of the other Goombas just re-evolved?
Yeah. Well, that's true.
Just say.
I don't know. But then, yeah. And then after they get home, we get Daisy has the come. Doesn't she come back in and say that she needs their help one more time?
So it was almost.
So we're set up for a sequel that never happens.
Almost for a, almost what could have been a deleted scene. Or not deleted, I'm sorry, but at like a post-credit scene. This, in these days, you would have seen something like this post-credits. It was them chilling out, getting ready to go to work, because now they're successful plumbers because they've saved New York.
Yeah.
Okay? And Daisy runs in with like shredded pants, carrying a flamethrower, and she's like, Mario, Luigi, I need your help. And people thought it was a setup for a sequel. But what the directors wanted to do was just really make it like just kind of leave it like open ended. It was just like saying like, oh, and their adventures continue. Like there was never really, I guess, any intent for a sequel. They just wanted to give them that feeling like, you know, there's always another adventure.
Yeah. You make it up yourself. Yeah. Well, see, I mean, it would have actually been like a mid credit scene because there is a post credit scene. Tell me.
Oh, don't tell me I missed it.
Are you fucking kidding me, Aaron?
God damn it.
I was blown away. Yes, there is a post-credit scene. Yes, we've got someone talking about how they want to turn their lives into a video game. And then the reveal is that it's Iggy and Spike sitting on a couch listening to this pitch. Yeah.
I know this is silly, but I'm looking it up right now.
Okay, you do it.
Can't believe that. I can't believe I didn't know that.
You say you love this movie.
Wait. Oh, wait. Maybe I did see this. Nope, they didn't even show it. I'm gonna have to go back and watch it. Now I feel stupid. Okay, well, I'll watch it later. I can't believe I missed that. That's insane to me. Wow.
That's like, I mean, that's 2 weeks in a row with these early 90s movies that it took me by surprise both times, but no, I'm like, I gotta never watch this.
I would never have known that. I feel so silly. So silly.
Oh, it was a good reveal, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Well, there we go. I think that is Super Mario Bros. Now, Aaron on IMDb, they don't share the love. All around here, we've got 4.1 out of 10 and a Metascore of 35, and Rotten Tomatoes, no better, 29% on both the tomato meter and the audience rating. But Aaron, those are just numbers. Like a bomb arm going off and destroying everything, hit us with some reviews.
All right, so we all know that that people just for some reason, again, I don't understand it. I don't understand it, how people cannot enjoy this film. But I'll tell you what, it definitely has way better scores than our last movie, Street Fighter, which
okay.
I think we'll say it was like 11 and like 22% or something.
On Rotten Tomatoes, for yeah. Sure, it was like really low, yeah.
So this one has a 29% on Tomato Meter with a 29%. So pretty even, you know, over 100,000. You know, ratings from the audience. And a couple of these are Adrian Alvarez, who much, you know, like me, is a top critic, okay? And he just simply says, I prefer a film that takes risks over inane projects. Which I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Mark Caro from the Chicago Tribune, he says, like their video game counterparts, co-stars Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo somehow manage to weave their past threatening obstacles and escape with their dignity. I think that Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo would very much disagree with you, sir.
Yeah, well, that is what I have read a lot of, is that, yeah, they don't really like talking about this movie yes. much. But, you know, whatever.
Like, Carrie
we all did things we're not proud of at some point in our life.
Oh boy, do we have stories.
Theirs is just more public.
Yes. Carrie Rickey from the Philadelphia Inquirer, she said, or he, I guess Carrie could be a boy's name also. They said, scenery rushes by, noises blare, characters pop up wearing new costumes that they couldn't possibly have had time to change into as they eluded their adversaries.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. And then one of my favorites is from a Kim Newman from Empire Magazine, who just says, game over, man.
Game over. Game over, man.
Yeah. And then one last one is Zaki Hassan from IGN Movies, who stated, although the theatrical release is perhaps too narratively disjointed and tonally dissonant to qualify as, quote-unquote, good, it so proudly brandishes its bonkers, go-for-broke aesthetic, one hesitates to label it entirely bad either. That is my entire feeling of this movie in a nutshell. So thank you, Mr. Hassan from IGN Reviews. You nailed it on the head, and I'm going to leave it with that.
Right on. Yeah, this was an experience. I will definitely say that. Super Mario Brothers is one hell of a movie. It, I just have noises. I'm stunned by this movie. I can't hate this movie by any means. It's definitely not a good movie, but the swing and the chances they took and I wish they had leaned into the absurdity even more at points. There are points that it would have been nice that if you had taken it from the source material, it could have been so much more fun. Right? Where, like you said, pipes. If the pipe was the way that they got to this other dimension, even that right there would have taken this movie and just into the stratosphere.
Yeah.
Like just little tiny Easter eggs like that.
True. one single pipe travel would have definitely added to it. And I agree with you. I do agree with you. If they had just added just a few more true to source things, just a couple more, it probably would have really kind of sealed it as not being so much of a flop.
Yeah. But I loved it. I loved everything it brought, everything it tried to do, and just the goofy ass nature that is Super Mario Brothers. And now it's in the Die Hard universe for me too, so that's a plus.
That is an oddity in and of itself. The fact that anybody tries to shoehorn
John McClane cameo.
John McClane. Next thing you'll find out is they wanted to put in, you know, the guys from Lethal Weapon. You know, Donald Glover on there. He's like,
I'm getting too old for this shit.
Like at some point, he's sitting on the toilet and like, you know, there's like pipe travel going on.
We need some plumbers. Oh boy.
So I'll just wrap up with, you already know how I feel about this movie.
Yeah.
You know, I pretty much will echo just about everything you said, because I adore this movie, and it's been one of those ones that's kind of like stuck with me from childhood. It'll always be a fun watch. I will always stand by my
I will view. Defend this to I the death. I will defend
this movie and just say that it's such a, it's not a great movie, but it's a fun movie that makes no sense, but is a ton of fun to watch. Again, like, take what I said about Street Fighter last week, you know, dial it up like times two, maybe two and a half.
That's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2: The Secret of the Ooze.
Yeah,
what
exactly.
That is. I mean, it's, you gotta love that they tried and failed. They failed very hard, but boy, oh boy, did they make a movie that is worth watching and loving.
They definitely did, you know? That, Sean. They definitely made a movie. Well, no, but seriously, it is, you're right. It is worth watching. This is something that, like, if you enjoyed watching the newest Super Mario Brothers, the movie, go back and watch Super Mario Brothers, and just with a grain of salt, with maybe a spoonful of sugar, you know, just take that medicine.
Go watch its inbred step cousin. You know.
Yeah.
The Super Mario Bros.
Yes, that's a good way to put it.
There's three Marios. It's that's the Italian Billy Bob, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mario.
Mario. Bill, my name's Bill William.
Well, there we go. That is Super Mario Bros. And that's our show for this week. Oh boy, if you like that show, all the usual stuff. Give us stars, say something nice, be kind. Take a few minutes to, you know, help boost us up the chart with algorithms. Or, you know, just tell people in person and say, hey, there's this show. There's a couple of funny, charming guys that are really handsome and humble.
That are terrible at Brooklyn accents.
That's right. Holy shit. Yeah, I've got a couple New Jersey listeners that might not like what we're spouting out over here.
They hate New Yorkers anyway, so they're fine. Yeah. They'll be like, okay. It sucks anyways.
Or if you want to be part of our Patreon family and be an executive producer of the show and get a shout out, you can go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne and get a shout out, just like executive producer Joshua Blum of the 13th Hour Podcast.
If you'd like to contact or donate to the show, you can always email us at IUsedToLikeThisOne@gmail.com. Also, if you have fan mail or just hate mail, send it there as well. You can follow us on social media at IUsedToLikeThisOne on Instagram, or use numbers instead of letters, IUsedToLikeThisOne on Twitter. All right? On social media, you'll get a heads up on what our next movie is, so you can watch it ahead of time.
I Used to Like This One is hosted by and produced by Sean Wells and Aaron Knowles. It is edited by Sean Wells, music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band Carter in the Capitals anywhere you listen to music. If you want to hear more from me and my stories of being a bus driver, check out my other podcast, In Front of the Yellow Line, anywhere pods are cast. And Aaron, where can people find you doing your thing?
You can find me over at the Oblivion Bar Pod, basically at Oblivion Bar Pod on any social media platform. You can find me at Better Actions on Twitter, Instagram, all those places. And you know what? Just check me out at Shred the Stress, which is my nonprofit. And, you know, that's about it.
Okay, so video game week, video game month continues. Got our next one up. Do you remember what it is?
I have no idea, to be honest. I was just thinking, I don't remember what it is.
Oh, okay. Next up, we've got Double Dragon.
Oh, shit. Yes.
Yes, we have Double Dragon. That's right. Yeah, because we wanted to space out the martial arts movies. That's right. So that's why we did Street Fighter. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Double Dragon is going to be fun. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Double Dragon. I actually, this was an early pandemic watch for me as well. So I've got a fairly recent viewing in me, but yeah, I mean, Alyssa Milano was always a crush of mine. So,
oh, absolutely. She definitely charmed me. Huh?
Yeah. No. 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 She could have been my boss. That's all I know. Yeah. Is who's that boss?
Yeah.
She is. Actually, no, I think it was Mona. Yeah. Mona was the boss. Anyway. you never watched Who's the Boss, did you?
I did. It's been a very, very, very long time.
Mona was the grandma. Mm. Yeah. It was Angela, Tony, and Mona.
Jesus.
Yeah. Anyway.
Mona sounds like a grandma's name.
Yeah. So Double Dragon next week. Yeah.
Yes. Exciting. Oh, my God.
Well, there we go. Thanks for listening, and join us next time when we look at Double Dragon on I Used to Like This One.
The date. Oh, wait, hold on. I'm going to do this in a trying to do a New York accent.
Okay.
The date. That's, I don't know, what accent is that? How do you, let's see. Like,
that was a little Jason Statham.
I'm just going to do a normal, fuck it. All right.